This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 on the evening edition. You are with Kelvin and Hezril, and we have another installment of Pope Pope Parliament for you, where we go through the key highlights from the Dewan Rakyat.
So one of the first issues brought up today was unemployment. MP for Port Dickson, Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim, asked the Ministry of Human Resources about the national unemployment rate and projected estimates for the year. Minister Datuk Sri M. Saravanan shared the latest figures from the Department of Statistics.
Data terkini Jabatan Perangkaan Malaysia atau DOSA menunjukkan bahawa kadar pengangguran Malaysia telah meningkat kepada 5.3% pada Mei 2020 berbanding dengan 5.0% pada April 2020. DOSA menganggarkan julat maksimum kadar pengangguran adalah dalam lingkungan 3.5% hingga 5.5% pada tahun ini. Antara sektor pekerjaan yang paling terjejas adalah sektor pelancongan, pembuatan dan perkhidmatan. Dan tidak terkecuali golongan bekerja sendiri yang sebahagian besarnya terdiri daripada peniaga dan pengusaha kecil-kecilan. Di sebalik tren negatif dalam penawaran tenaga buruh hingga Mei 2020, keadaan ini telah bertambah baik jika dibanding dengan April 2020. Ini adalah hasil daripada pelaksanaan pelbagai pakej rangsangan. Di samping itu, lebih banyak perniagaan yang dibenarkan beroperasi berikutan Perintah Kawalan Pergerakan Bersyarat menyumbang kepada penurunan bilangan penganggur. Seterusnya, ianya dijangka anggar akan bertambah baik manakala dalam tempoh jangka sederhana hingga separuh kedua tahun 2020, pasaran buruh dijangka terus mengukur.
In a follow-up question, Datuk Sri Anwar questioned how accurate the stats were and whether a newer and more robust method should be used to measure unemployment, as outdated figures would adversely impact the type of aid subsequently given. The minister responded by saying that the government was doing a good job of handling COVID-19 and that the various initiatives they've undertaken will keep the unemployment rates down. Here's a truncated version of that exchange.
Mungkin apabila sampai masa, angka ini akan kurang dengan adanya program-program ini subsidi daripada kerajaan. Dan dengan langkah-langkah ini, saya percaya dan yakin kerajaan hari ini di bawah kepimpinan Ahmad Berhormat Perdana Menteri dapat mengurangkan isu pengangguran di negara kita.
Terima kasih. Saya tanya tentang jumlah itu, apakah realistik dengan survey yang saya tunjukkan tadi?
Setakat ini yang berhormat, jumlah itu memang realistik.
That was Minister of Human Resources Datuk Sri M. Saravanan, who essentially said that our employment figures are accurate and that there's no need to change how the government collects relevant data.
And now moving on, the Ministry of Home Affairs was asked to give an update on the crime index in Kuala Lumpur before, during and after the MCO. Deputy Home Minister Ismail Mohamed Syed said that the crime rate had dropped during the MCO, excluding incidences of online scams.
Nak saya nyatakan sebelum PKP 1 Januari hingga 17 Mac sejumlah 2,225 kes jenayah. Semasa PKP 18 Mac hingga 3 Mei sejumlah 546 kes, dan semasa PKPB 4 Mei hingga 9 Jun sejumlah 708 kes, dan semasa PKPP 10 Jun hingga 30 Jun 488, dan PKPP masih lagi berterusan. Dengan itu, kita belum ada indeks jenayah selepas PKP.
He also talked about the additional measures they'll take to improve security in the country.
Berbagai-bagai penambahbaikan yang telah kita lakukan seperti pembelian aset kita, penambahbaik untuk pasukan keselamatan kita. Contohnya, kalau kita ada CCTV, kalau di Bandaraya Kuala Lumpur sekarang ada 100 unit CCTV, kita akan tambah lagi, dan kita bekerjasama dengan KPKT dan juga Dewan Bandaraya untuk sama-sama menguasai CCTV kita. Dan kita juga ada pembelian drone-drone yang baru untuk kita memastikan, selain pada CCTV, kita gunakan khidmat drone untuk memastikan kegiatan jenayah ini dapat kita benteras. Terima kasih, Yang Mohamad.
So you just heard Deputy Home Minister Ismail Mohamed Syed saying that they will be adding more security cameras and surveillance drones to help combat crime, particularly in KL. you can let us know. Do you think that enhanced surveillance is the best way to go to make our city safer? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, and you can also call 7733-2900. And we'll also be extending this question to Shuhana Shamsuddin, president of the Malaysian Urban Design Association, after the 7 p.m. news. She'll be joining us to talk about designing safer cities.
Now, moving on, the Deputy Home Minister was also asked what type of crime was most rampant during the MCO, excluding online scams. Kel, would you like to hazard a guess?
If crime includes poor driving, even though a lot of people were asked to stay at home, I think some, when they had to go out for essentials, maybe at once every 2 weeks, they may have the safe driving habit may have been slipping off their hands. So I want to say car accidents.
Yeah, that's an interesting. So I would hazard, without looking this up, I think perhaps people gathering in, you know, too large a crowd, perhaps. So let's see what it actually is here. So here's Deputy Home Minister Ismail Mohamed Said with the answer.
Kalau kita lihat statistik indeks jenayah yang paling banyak berlaku semasa PKP ini adalah curi motosikal.
Oh, okay.
Wow, that was unexpected. Yeah, I'm quite surprised. I don't see the how that's tied into, I guess, the MCO.
My partial guess is likely that because in some instances, if you've made a panic rush to get back to your home state, you may have left your motorcycle just outside where you park, and then it's easy for anyone to take. And, you know, during the MCO, it was tough times. I guess people were just looking for the best way they can to make a living.
That's an interesting theory.
So moving on to the next thing, I guess, after that surprise. Now, government MPs weren't the only ones being grilled in Parliament today. Dewan Rakyat Speaker Dato' Azhar Azizan Harun was asked to explain himself for writing a letter to High Court Judge Colin Lawrence Sequeira last week, asking him to excuse Pekan MP Dato' Sri Najib Razak from court so that he may attend Parliament.
Saya mempersilakan
Tuan Speaker, sebelum itu, Tuan Speaker Tanjung Malim.
Ya.
Sebelah kiri.
Ya.
Tuan Speaker, apabila saya membaca satu laporan media yang mengatakan bahawa Tuan Speaker menulis surat kepada mahkamah untuk minta tangguhkan prosiding Pekan, Yang Berhormat Pekan, untuk membolehkan Yang Berhormat Pekan datang ke Parlimen untuk berbahas. Bolehkah saya dapatkan penjelasan daripada Tuan Speaker, apakah keperluan untuk Tuan Speaker tulis surat kepada mahkamah minta tangguhkan prosiding Pekan untuk dia datang berbahas?
Tak ada keperluannya, ialah YB Pekan punya masa untuk diperbahaskan usul titah deraja itu ialah pukul 3.40 pada hari tersebut. Kemudian pada paginya saya difahamkan beliau meminta pertangguhan kes untuk datang ke Parlimen tetapi dinafikan. Jadi kita ni ada doktrin pembahagian kuasa di mana kuasa-kuasa di antara mahkamah, eksekutif dan Parlimen tu sama. Di UK Parlimen Supreme, Parlimen yang di atas. Di sini semua ketiga-tiganya sama. Jadi saya berpendapat bahawa oleh kerana slot Yang Berhormat Pekan pada petang itu, maka saya ingin memohon pertimbangan Yang Arif Hakim ya, agar menimbangkan permohonan untuk beliau dibenarkan untuk datang ke Parlimen. Itu saja. Saya tak perintah, saya tak apa-apa pun.
So the request actually worked. Judge Colin Lawrence Sequeira ordered the hearing to end at 3:15 so that Dato' Sri Najib could rush to Parliament. Bersatu Supreme Council member in response, Rais Yatim specifically, said that the incidents might actually set a precedent which would allow MPs to be given special exemption from scheduled court proceedings.
Yeah, so I take it that for some this might be a bit surprising and perhaps a bit... It sets a bit of doubt, but I think it comes in the context that, you know, even in the past, we've covered stories about how there are certain means to delay legal proceedings. And it's coming through a not so nice series of patterns, right? Dr. Sri Najib Razak, he was also given special permission to delay his court proceedings because he had to do campaigning in a recent by-election.
Right, and I guess people watching might find it surprising, given that he's not a minister and he doesn't have, that special bearing, right, and responsibility to take questions, which was practically most of what today's sitting was about.
Yeah, and also politically, it is a bit of a risk when it comes to bills. We've seen how slim the majority that Perikatan Nasional has, and perhaps it's just in general, I think it's just something a bit risky for any one or two MPs not to attend and laws not being able to be passed because of non-attendance.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the future.
Yeah, for sure. So that's it for today's updates. There will be more Popet Parliament tomorrow. But in the meantime, if you have any thoughts on any of the stories we've spoken about today, either on the crime index, or if it's about unemployment in the country, or the increase of CCTVs and surveillance drones in places around Malaysia, especially in cities, you can let us know. 7733 2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.